question the coach's play calling, all right, you care. At the very least, you care. Did you see the Jaguars last night when Tennessee was trying to get that fifth touchdown for Derrick Henry? They stopped him on third down. They're down 30, and they're celebrating because they kept him from getting into the end zone.
Big stop.
Miles Jack, you can hear him on TV hooting and hollering, patting each other on the back. They're down 30 in a divisional game on national TV, and because they prevented him from going for his fifth rushing touchdown, they were celebrating on the field.
Wow.
That's a clown show. The Sherman thing, everything about it, when he's done playing, I'd want him to be a part of the organization. I'm not sure how everyone else feels about that, but if he gets into coaching, I think he could be a hell of a coach, a motivator, a leader, a guy who can explain the business side of it to you.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if he makes that transition, especially if John Lynch is there. I mean, why would you not want a guy and say, hey, Richard, I think you have a future here when you get done? And I think those conversations start. I remember being in San Diego, and I remember sitting with Marty and sitting with some of the scouting and say, hey, is this something you would like to do? Hell, when Marty
they asked you this.
Yeah, and even when Marty went to that football team, that expansion that happened right after he left San Diego, asked me if I want to come coach for him. There is a lot of players that are out there that if you want to make that transition right when you get done into scouting and, you know, and do a lot of the grunt work and make that, it could be a great living and great. It's a great way. And Richard Sherman's a very astute guy. Like you said, he's a smart guy. I can see him totally being in the 49ers organization.
Yeah, I think front office more than coaching as far as Richard Sherman, you know, more on the GM side and using his great intellect in the front office. Yeah, I think he could coach, not to diminish his ability to coach, but I see him more in the front office than I do him grinding out a job as a position coach.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour here on Jolo and Dibs 95.7 The Game. Happy Friday. It's great to have you with us as we get set for a wide variety of topics, contests, and a lot of other stuff that's coming your way. At about 7:20 this morning will be the next opportunity for you to win a trip to Hawaii. 7:20 this morning, we're going to call a name, and if that name calls us back in 9 minutes and 57 seconds, boom, you've qualified to win a trip to Hawaii with 3 friends. Now, we're only doing this at 7:20 a.m. on this program, and it's taking place this week and next week, and that is it. We have only had 2 callbacks so far, so your odds are fantastic. But the only way you can get in the game is if somehow, some way, you've gone to the website, 957thegame.com, and you've registered for the contest. If you haven't, there's still time. Go there, do that. Beef line coming up at 7:30. I'm not sure how it sounds this week. I'm sure we're all in for a verbal bashing. We've got Gary St. Jean at 8:30, Beat the Bookie at 8:45, Lowe versus Dibs at 9:45. In addition, Raider tickets, 2 pair for the game against the Steelers. We'll give those away at 8:45 this morning. It is a busy day on this program.
Busy show for busy people, and it fits that it's just such a busy day on this Friday.
A Football Friday brought to you by Mancini Sleep World, Golden State Lumber, and Harris Ranch Beef on 95.7 The Game. As always, if you'd like to follow along, feel free to do so on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. Who has Derrick Henry in fantasy and who didn't start him in last night's game?
Do we have to lead the hour with that? I mean, we were having a nice conversation about Richard Sherman and things have been great. It's a busy Friday, busy show for busy people. And yeah, I have Derrick Henry. It was a great draft.
Good job.
Yeah, thanks, Lo. But, you know, sadly, I had him on my bench. Even though I lost Kareem Hunt for the season, and I ended up putting him on the old waiver wire.
Shouldn't be drafting high-character guys like that.
Yeah, that's my fault. You know, shout out of draft, because I missed my draft by 2 hours, and yet I'm still in first place. But yes, Derrick Henry languishing on my bench, 48 fantasy points.
48.
All
wow.
For naught. Yeah.
But this highlights something. This highlights something very important.
That I'm an idiot?
Well, I did have Derrick Henry in my lineup last night, but not because it was some brilliant move. I was out of options. I had nothing. I'm one of those teams this year that between injuries and not being fast to the waiver wire, because you know I lead a life. I don't just rush to that thing every 5 seconds.
Nice.
I had him. I had no other options,
good
so I started him. But I've been doing that all year, and I've been getting burned. Henry, this season has been an absolute bust for fantasy owners. Take a listen to his rushing totals entering last night's game.
And this will be by this will be by game.
Bring up, who's this? The Denver Broncos. God, I have way too many of these things open. defense fumbles. Well, while you look,
on behalf of everyone who,
this is a mess.
On behalf of everyone who left Derrick Henry on their bench,
I say he's an idiot.
And that starts with me right there.
All right, so.
Bought you some time, Coach.
I know, I appreciate that. That's teamwork. People helping people, as we like to.
I could have mashed a few more buttons, too, if you
needed. Yeah, I imagine you could.
All right, here we go. Rushing totals for Derrick Henry starting in week one. 26 yards, 56 yards, 57 yards, 24 yards, 56 yards, 21 yards, 33 yards, 27 yards, 58 yards, 46 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards, 238 yards. What this highlights is the importance of focusing on the process rather than the outcome. That game took place last night. Derrick Henry, 17 carries, 238 yards, 4 touchdowns. 99-yard touchdown run, tying Tony Dorsett for the longest touchdown run in NFL history. Everyone who didn't start Henry, like people like Dibs, are sitting here feeling foolish this morning. They feel terrible. What were you supposed to do? You made the right decision in virtually every instance. He has not performed well this year. He's going up against a team that last year ranked number 2 in the NFL in scoring defense. And this year, as bad as they've been, they're still a relatively solid defense. They blanked the Colts last week in a 6-0 win in Jacksonville. So you made the decision knowing Deion Lewis was going to get some touches that Thursday night game against a good defense, division rivalry, Henry's probably not a good option. Your process was correct. Your outcome did not support it. That doesn't mean you made the wrong decision. I always use the blackjack theory here. If you're sitting next to some drunk idiot at a blackjack table and the guy's holding a hard 18, he's got a face card and he's got an 8 and he's all drunk. Oh, you know what? I'm going to hit it. And he gets a 3 and that puts it to 21. That doesn't make it the right decision. Favorable outcome, terrible, flawed process. Just like if you have a 15 and you're facing a dealer's face card and you hit, but you get an 8 and you bust, that does not mean you made the wrong decision. You made the right decision with a poor outcome. This is how we need to think more as a society. Don't be so focused on the results. Be focused on the process, because once you get the process right, 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, as the sample size builds itself up, you'll find yourself on the right side more often than not. So many people last night I see on social just furious they didn't start Derrick Henry. You made the right decision. You just got a bad result there. So we come in, we have some laughs about this whole thing, but what were you going to do? You were going to take the history you have of Derrick Henry, the situation against a good defense, and suddenly you're going to say, you know what? Tonight's the night. He hasn't topped 60 yards rushing in a game all season, but tonight's the night he goes for a franchise record and ties Tony Dorsett for longest TD run.
I should have seen it coming, Coach. On a short week against a terrific defense on a Thursday night, a guy who's been basically a bum. And I can't believe I haven't cut to him prior to this, because 51 yards, 26 yards, these are not fantasy performances. And I don't recall a game where he had 2 touchdowns, which would have mitigated
one.
He had one New 2 England. Touchdown game.
Yeah.
Before
he came in the last night with 5 total, had 4 last night. So
four
now he's
last
got 9
night
on the season. And now you look at his overall numbers and it's like, this isn't a bad season.
It's a good
He'll
year for
go
D.
He'll go for 1,000 yards and double digit touchdowns, and you'll be fooled into drafting him higher next season.
Yeah, and dispelling the myth about Alabama running backs in one singular night.
I don't know if he's, you look at those numbers, the way you read those off, I don't know if he's in Tennessee next year. I mean, you look at those numbers for a running back, I can go get a guy off the couch. I can get probably LaDainian Thompson off the couch today, and you said the yards that he got, 57, 28.
He was in that movie recently looking a little thick, though.
Yeah, he's looking a little thick. I
hear your point.
The point is,
as you bash arguably your best friend on the planet.
I know. But you started. At first, I gave him some love, and then you came with over the top.
That's true. I kind of led you down the wrong alley there.
You really did.
It's like Radio Raheem with the love and then the hate.
Yeah, absolutely.
You came with both right there. That was good.
Exactly. But no, you look at those numbers. That's proof. I mean, that's unacceptable.
It's just not productive.
I mean,
that's all it is. It's not productive.
56, 60. No, I mean, he hasn't had any games beside one over 70 yards.
No, he's had none over 60 except
over
for the
60.
Last night.
You're starting
his highest rushing total of the season was 58 yards against the Patriots.
You're
really got New England in that one.
You're starting running back in the National Football League, Coach, and you haven't averaged 60 yards in a game except the last night? Buddy.
One other thing I need to throw out there based on that trash last night. Peyton Manning made his last start in Indianapolis in 2010. 2011, he was a Colt, but he missed the whole season because of the neck. 2010 was the last time Peyton Manning made a start for the Colts. Since that time, is there any division in all the NFL that based on all the permutations you can come up with of divisional matchups, Tennessee-Jacksonville, Jacksonville-Indy, Houston-Indy, all the combinations, right? Take all eight divisions and break down all the possible combinations of games. Is there any division that produces consistently less appealing, putrid results than the AFC South? The AFC South is awful.
It's awful.
Awful. Some people will go, well, the AFC East. You still get the Patriots.
Yeah.
You get the Patriots.
The only one close for me is the NFC South. But, you know, Carolina's been exciting. Atlanta went to the Super Bowl. But you do
Carolina
get...
Carolina went to the Super Bowl.
You get some Tampa Bay, some putridity.
Drek.
And now New Orleans is good again. So at least there's been one pretty good team every year. But you're right about the AFC South. It's just putrid.
And even when they're not great, you still get some good matchups.
Yeah.
Like if New Orleans and Atlanta are just average, you still get some really good games between those two teams. The AFC South, anytime it's Houston, Tennessee we get, or Jacksonville, Indy, all those matchups, I don't care about any of them. They stink.
You're right.
So that's that.
That is that.
All right. A chance to win a trip to Hawaii, the beef line, your keys to watch for Niners Broncos. It's all coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Last time they met, it wasn't pretty for the Warriors.
The coupon is barrels over Looney and dunked it with a right hand. Just ran him over.
Now, the Dubs are out for revenge.
Throws outside to Iguodala.
Warriors.
Curry gets it back right side.
Box.
Quick release and a splash for Curry.
Coverage starts today at 5. Tip off at 6:30. Only on 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome to the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, our weekend-bound audience, because we love you and because this is the hour we've been waiting for all week. So much to get to. Beef line in 10 minutes. Your three keys to watch Niners Broncos right after that. But right now, seeing as how it's 7:20, it's time for the 95.7 The Game and Alaska Airlines Hawaii for the Holidays Flyaway Contest. We are sending one listener and three guests on a dream vacation this holiday season, courtesy of our good friends at Alaska Airlines, who have nonstop flights from the Bay Area to Hawaii. If you haven't already, register now for your chance to qualify at 957thegame.com. It's simple. Just go to the website, 957thegame.com, find the contest, register. Because today concludes this week's round of qualifiers. One more week to go, and we've only gotten two callbacks so far, so the odds of winning this thing are really, really in your favor. Go to the website and register now for a chance next week. Today's qualifier is Patricia Miles from Hercules. How about a drum roll? Something I completely botched.
My fault. I should have been there for you.
Should have teed it up. Hey, guess what? Patricia Miles from Hercules. Congratulations. I know you didn't see this coming.
No one did.
You are today's qualifier. You've got 9 minutes and 57 seconds to call us back on the contest line. 415-402-6865. That number again is 415-402-6865. Patricia Miles from Hercules. Now, if you know Patricia, text her, call her, do whatever you need to do to alert her that she has been named as today's qualifier, but she's got to call us back. And if she does, who knows? Maybe because you told her name was called, she'll take you. 415-402-6865. If you don't call us back, we will pick another name in the next few minutes, well, you know, after the 9 minute and 57 second mark, and announce that. So let's get down to business. Tonight, the Golden State Warriors conclude their five-game road trip. The first five-game road trip that the franchise has taken without having to play back-to-back games since the 1985-1986 season. Hint, hint, that may play a role later in the show. Regardless, it's been an up-and-down road trip. Started slow. They've come on strong as of late. But this is the game everyone's waiting for. The Toronto game, there was a lot of hype there because it's the best team in the East, but there was no Steph Curry. Now you've got Steph, you've got KD, and you've got Klay Thompson traveling to Milwaukee looking to avenge that 23-point defeat at Oracle, which was the first home loss of the season for the Warriors. At the current moment, at the current moment, Vegas has the Milwaukee Bucks sitting as a one-point favorite. Surprising to me that they're a one-point favorite in this spot. It's got me leaning to the Warriors, but how much of the revenge angle comes into this? Do you think the Warriors have this game circled, that it's something they really want to avenge from what happened earlier in the
season? I think that they've got it circled, but it's in pencil. They realize full well that this is the end of a five-game road trip, and the fact that they haven't had back-to-backs doesn't take away from the fact that they've been on the road now for a long time, and I think that leads into or plays into the fact that they are underdogs in this game. Not only the fact that Milwaukee came here and trounced them at home, but Milwaukee beat them at home last year as well. And Milwaukee's won 3 of 9 against Golden State since Steve Kerr has been around, which is not insignificant because not many teams have done that well against Golden State with Steve Kerr's winning percentage hovering around 80 for the regular season. So I think that this is a game that Golden State looks at and says, yes, we want to beat Milwaukee. We don't want to get swept by any team, and this is the last chance you have to beat the Bucks.
Do you like them to win this game?
I don't, actually, no.
Really?
I don't, no, because game five at the end of a long five-game road trip, and you look at a Bucks team that matches up very well with them. They've got great length defensively, and you know Milwaukee's got this one circled on their calendar more so than Golden State does. I think this is a classic case of there's no place like home. Warriors eager to get back home. It'll be a high-scoring affair, but I think Milwaukee comes out on top.
Milwaukee 16-7 on the season. Do you see it the same way? If you were playing for the Warriors, if you were back in your pro days, would this game be circled based on the 23-point beatdown they handed you at Oracle a couple months ago?
Why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't it? I'm looking to get home. Get home for what? Play basketball? Get home for what? I'm on the road. I'm on the road for a reason. I'm on the road to win. You already got beat by Toronto. You already got beat by Detroit Pistons. You got beat by the number 4 seed. Now you're getting ready to play the number 2 seed. You already got beat by 1 seed. You already got beat by 4 seed. Play basketball. You're here. You're on the road. The other teams have to go on the road and have to go out there and win. You're getting paid. Supposed to be this juggernaut, this dynasty. Play basketball. So, yeah, this is a game that you need to go out and you need to perform. You got Giannis. You got KD. It's what people want. This is the best. You need it. You got Steph, who scored 42 the other night. You need to go out here and play. This is that message game. I don't care if you don't have Durant. You don't have Draymond playing. You need to go out here and play this game. You need to find a way to win this game. And I look for him to come out and play hard.
Giannis went for 24, 9, 4, 2, and 2 the last time these two got together. It only took 26 minutes, by the way.
Wow.
He only played 26 minutes. That game was such boating. Brutal. And he tried to limit him tonight. You're obviously not going to stop someone like him, much like you're not going to stop Steph and you're not going to stop KD. So how do you at least limit him so that he doesn't destroy you in this game?
You put Kevin Durant on him and you pull KD aside pregame and you say, KD, you're a great defender. You've improved your defense since you've come to Golden State, but this is a signature moment. You want to be considered one of the great defenders. You want to be an all defensive team guy. Well, here's your chance, because you're going up against a younger version of yourself, basically. This guy is called the Greek Freak for a reason, because he's unbelievably tough to stop. But Kevin Durant has a very similar body, and he's got a similar skill set. So he should have the ability to check him one-on-one and at least slow him a little bit. But short of that, you absolutely have to give help, and you have to double-team him when you have somebody else on him.
Yeah, absolutely, you're going to have to double him, and you're going to have to look KD and say, KD, hey, go eat. You're this max player. You're this guy that everyone's talking about. You're top two, top three, whatever you might want to be in the NBA. Let's stand up and let's go play big tonight. You know, you had a test the other night against Toronto, and you played well. You matched him. You went out there, took it to overtime. I want to see that type of performance. Even if you lose, this has got to be KD's one of his finest hours again. He's got to play well.
For someone who pays as much attention to the media and what's said about him as Durant does, do you think he's aware of the fact that on First Take yesterday, Max Kellerman said that Durant is not a top five player in the NBA? Now, it's Kellerman who said it, not Stephen A. Smith. And then Stephen A. Smith jumped in, put his feet up on the table, did the whole theatrical thing. It was quite entertaining, but he did what he did defending it. But still, there's the take out there. Someone in the media, type of people that Durant doesn't like hearing from, saying that he's not a top five player and that maybe if he is, he's fifth and he's fighting for that fifth spot. Now, if he hears something like that, you got to figure that factors into his performance tonight, that he's going to lock in even more so than he normally does, right? Or
yes.
Do you think that's just something on Pay No Mind. Because a lot of guys probably don't pay attention to that, but I'm pretty sure he does.
Yes.
He heard that.
I don't believe that he has a Pay No Mind. He pays every mind to everything. So if it's Max Kellerman or if it's Jolo and Dibs, if it's Matt Kolsky in the pregame show, if something is said disparaging about Kevin Durant, he's going to hear about it. And if he doesn't clap back himself, he's going to dispatch his brother on Instagram to do so, or he'll send a message tonight to Max Kellerman. I don't know if there's a way that he can mouth it after he scores his 35th point tonight. You like that, Max? You like that? But you're going to see something. KD hears everything, so I think it will provide him for motivation.
Well, you get it. Stephen A. Smith's a joke. I mean, you know what I mean? He's a talker.
So let me get this straight.
Exactly. And he's going to get...
What do you mean exactly? He wants you to get that straight.
Get it straight. Yeah, get it straight that he's a joke. And you know, he's going to say things and try to get guys going, and that's just who he is. KD, come on. We know KD is... If they say he's not a top five player, please. I mean, you know KD is definitely a top five player. Probably more LeBron, KD. You put him in there, wherever you want. KD's probably even better. KD, is he different? More, is he different than the rest of the top five or round it up? Probably so. Is he more sensitive? Probably so. But is he a top five? I know that drops.
It's the Richard Sherman drop, exactly. Which if you're just tuning in, you have no idea what that is or why it made an appearance on the show. We'll explain it later.
Yeah, I thought it was Tarzan for a second there. Just need Jan.
Or Jane.
Yeah, exactly.
Brady Bunch, Jane, whatever.
Marsha, yeah, Jane, and Cindy.
And so I just think that what KD understands, people are going to talk, and he understands that. And KD's going to snap back. We understand that. But tonight is going to be a big game for the Warriors, and they understand who they're playing. And they do. This is a revenge spot. They got motorboated at home. They need to go on the
road. Do they win tonight, though, Lo? I'm on the record as saying they lose. What side are you going on?
Versus Dibs, 9:45 this morning.
Yeah, I love it.
Which
is a motorboating, but anyway.
I said it yesterday. If you listen to what I said, I said they're going to lose.
We didn't. We rarely do.
That's why I asked you today.
And it's not just personal. I rarely listen to anything.
I know, but
I don't even listen to myself.
I think I was first on record to say that they're going to lose 10
minutes. So you said they'd lose the Bucks game, and you're claiming that Dibs is now piggybacking on top of that take.
Guarantee it.
Interesting.
I said.
In that case, I'm going with the Warriors. I'll go switchola.
Sorry, no take-backs.
No switcholas?
No switcholas, which is something that you are very adamant about every week.
Yeah.
So look at you two fading the Warriors tonight. I got you backed up, Nation. I'll take the Warriors.
No, getting
the point here. They're going to win.
I'll give you two.
Give me two. Wow, look at you.
I'll give you three.
Look at you willing to give me one extra point than the point spread.
I'll give you three.
Not two, not three.
We'll come up with a bet. How about this? We'll come up with a bet. I lost the...
Dallas.
I lost one of you recently.
Dallas.
You made a great call.
Dallas, we bet Dallas.
I don't think we bet that one.
Yeah, we did.
We had bet whether or not Steph would play.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Steph.
And
the
you
lunch.
Won that one. We bet a grilled cheese sandwich. So just pop the hat off there and help yourself.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. It's Friday. It's 7:30. You know how we do.
There's some things in life that really piss you off. Now's your chance to unleash the fury. Is the Beef Line, proudly presented by Harris Ranch. Legendary beef, legendary quality. Available throughout the Bay Area at Raley's and Nob Hill Foods.
Yes, get over that!
Now, it's time to go beef mode.
The Beef Line is presented by our good friends at Harris Ranch. Legendary beef, legendary quality. Available throughout the Bay Area at Raley's and Nob Hill Foods. Ladies and gentlemen, caller number one.
My beef is with grilled cheese head, trucker hat wearing, you know who you are. Calling out Dan Dibley for calling in sick, and then I'm sure you've heard of karma. Come on, Lo Neal. Come on, man. Where is your pride?
Ooh. Interesting scenario right there. Dib sick last Friday. I don't know about Lo calling him out. I was not here, but then Lo ends up getting sick, courtesy of Dibs.
Theoretically.
Yeah, Dibs got me sick, buddy.
That's not confirmed.
Yeah, it's very confirmed.
I think it is.
What's interesting is that Dibs got you sick, yet he didn't get anyone else sick, meaning we're all in a certain proximity to one another. How close did you two actually get for
you
to get
sick?
Well,
you weren't here, Joe, so you wouldn't.
I was here. He was sick on Wednesday before the birth. He came in with his bronchitis. He was nice enough to bring it into the studio for all of us.
Right before you went to have your second shot.
Yes.
That's right.
Thank you very much. Caller number two.
Hey, this is Dane from the O, and my beef is with Vontae Hill. Bro, your Dos Equis commercials, man, keeping it in Interesante, keeping it in Interesante. Bruh, you live in California, man. Work on your accent. If you're going to be out here in the Bay, man, with all the Hispanics, Latinas, all, and all our brothers, man, you got to keep it in Interesante.
Spanish uptick. It was awesome. It's awesome.
How many? Is that the first time we've ever gotten an uptick from outside of the English language?
I believe so. I believe so. And I didn't even know about Bonte's Spanish accent in those commercials. I hadn't noticed it either way.
The lack of a Spanish accent. That's great.
Is it? Yes. Is it a lack of an accent?
It's definitely.
Caller number three.
This message is for Dr. Matt Kevorkian, true son of the Grim Reaper. Man, hearing your comments on Kevin Durant and other subjects, how can you be so negative, man? I mean, who did something to you when you were a kid? I used to kind of think that the whole negative thing was an act, but I'm beginning to realize you got some real psychosis, man. You know, you just don't seem to have a positive bone in your body. If you were a battery, you'd be dead.
Whoa! That's a good line. Matt Kevorkian taking a shot at Steiny like that?
Oh, my goodness. That was hard.
Has Steiny been popped on the Beef Line before? I'd have to imagine it's happened at least once, but it doesn't happen as much as you would think, considering the abuse Guru takes.
Yes. Yes.
Although, shout out Guru.
Battery,
the California Casanova.
Dead. Oh, yeah.
That's a pretty good line. If he would have upticked it, that would have really brought it home. God. But that caller had more than beef. That was an actual, like a bone to pick. That was real anger.
Pretty much a funeral slapping.
Pretty much.
A.K.A. the California Casanova.
Right? Told him you're better, you did. Slap.
Casket slap.
Absolutely.
What you fear most in the afterlife.
It's not happening.
Fire away the next one.
Lionel Hutz, Fremont, California in the house. I'm calling out these non-educated Warrior fans that just blow it. Blow it with the money. I mean, come on. Who are these morons? Travis Swank, GM of the Boston Celtics, false that Steve Kerr has tickets to the Warriors the 4th straight finals against the Cavs. Who are these idiots? Just don't even bother calling Friday. Lionel Hutz is calling Friday. Let some real, known, educated Warrior fans get the money.
All right. I don't know what to make of that, so we'll just go ahead and put a bow on it. Great news. Part of our Beef Line sponsorship deal with Harris Ranch includes gift certificates to give away for the best beef of the month. Each month, we will give a $100 Harris Ranch beef gift certificate away, available at your local Raley's, Bel Air, and Knob Hill Foods. Always an opportunity to get down if you would like. Mondays and Fridays at 7:30. The Beef Line number is 415-403-8588. That number again is 415-403-8588. As we said, best of the best makes it onto the air. Best of the best of the best wins the gift certificate at the end of the month. For the next hour, here's what you need to know. You've got your three keys to watch. Niners Broncos coming up in just a moment. We've got Steve Kerr. You'll hear from him at around 8:18 this morning, and then we'll react to those comments with the great Gary St. Jean. And in a little over an hour at 8:45, we've got two pair of Raiders Steelers tickets to give away, trivia question, followed by Beat the Bookie, followed by Low versus Dibs at 9:45. We're action-packed. But as we transition back to the NFL, the San Francisco 49ers currently in possession of the number one pick in the upcoming NFL draft. Do you want to see him win this weekend? Do you want to see him keep it exciting but find a way to lose? Do you want him to compete at all costs? Do you even care at this point moving forward? Have you checked out on the season? Because again, it's one thing to struggle. There are teams all around the NFL that are doing it. But it's another thing to struggle and not compete. Buffalo has had a tough season, but they had a chance to win last week at Miami. Buffalo has won quite a few games this year as well, if you've been paying attention. They beat the Jaguars. They beat the Vikings. They've notched a few victories. There are other teams around the league that have struggled, but they're finding ways to win games. And then you have this Niner team that sometimes they compete, sometimes they get voted. Most often, it's a nice, valiant effort where you can tell they're trying, they just don't have enough. And one of the questions out there that we'll pose to the listeners, 888-957-9570, what do you want to see this weekend? Ultimately for you, if you're sitting back having a couple pops, what do you want to see?
I want to see a victory, but I know a lot of fans want to see a loss and want to see them keep that top pick. I'd like to see a victory and some excitement because you mentioned checking out, Joe, and that's the one thing that I've been fighting over these last couple weeks is just checking out on this team, because you don't have your starting quarterback. You don't have your starting running back. Your two top receivers aren't playing. So offensively, you're waiting for what? George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk to make plays. Good players, but not exactly the most exciting guys around. Defensively, you don't have much at all. The one guy you really look for in the secondary, Richard Sherman, you never see him because they don't throw to his side. And what you see is Malcolm Smith, the back of Malcolm Smith, rather, running down the middle of the field, chasing another wide open receiver. So to me, it's been difficult to really stay locked in on this 49er team, because you're basically playing with a bunch of twos, a bunch of backups who won't be here next year. So what do you really have to root for?
The number's 888-957-9570 if you want to get down. But first, there is an announcement. Patricia Miles from Hercules did not call us back, which means we are going to go to one more name today. And if that name doesn't call back, there's only two in the pool
for
the first week of the contest with only 1 week to play. So name number two coming your way right now. A drum roll, please.
I thought you were going to say something about Matt Patricia. Like the pencil got fired or something.
Brian Larson from Morgan Hill. Brian Larson from Morgan Hill, you have 9 minutes and 57 seconds to call us back on the contest line at 415-402-6865. That number again is 415-402-6865. If you know Brian Larson from Morgan Hill, hit him up. Tell him to call us back at 415-402-6865 in the next 9 minutes and 57 seconds for a chance to win a trip to Hawaii, with the odds getting better and better as the moments tick by. All right. Niners, Broncos, three keys to watch. We tend to do this every Friday because we want you to be able to relax while enjoying the game. You don't want to think about this stuff. You want to have a couple pops if you're of age, talk to some friends, maybe check in on social here and there. We want to take the thinking and the guesswork out of it for you. So, music, please. A lot more intense than I was anticipating, but regardless, still interesting.
Keep it funky at 2 and 10, Niners. Keep it funky.
All right, kickoff 1:05 p.m. local. It's the Niners hosting the Denver Broncos, who find themselves as 3.5-point favorites. Key to watch, number one, Lorenzo Neal.
I always say offense entertains, but defense wins games and wins championships. This defense needs to hold this Bronco team to under 100 yards rushing. That has got to be a key. That has got to be preached day in and day out. Hold the Broncos under 100 yards rushing.
Hold them to under 100 yards rushing. And that's Philip Lindsay, a hell of a running back this season, who was supposed to be Royce Freeman, the draft pick out of Oregon, but Lindsay has taken advantage of his opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
He's averaging over 6 yards per carry this season.
Runs angry.
That's going to be probably the most prolific weapon coming your way on Sunday. Key to watch, number one, Dan Dibley.
Robert Saleh's defense has got the sack up, Joe. And by sack up, I mean sack the quarterback. You've got to be able to attack this passing offense. You know they don't have Emmanuel Sanders. Case Keenum is not exactly the most mobile quarterback in town, and you've got a Bronco offensive line that has been susceptible to pressure. Get to the quarterback. If you have to bring five or you bring six, go ahead and do it, Robert, because your cover three scheme, while in theory it may be a good one, it hasn't been that effective as a pass defense. So pull out all the stops. Get after the quarterback, make a play on defense. I think this is a huge game for Robert Saleh and his pass rush.
There you go. Keys to the game, Niners, Broncos, Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Key number one for me, Dante Pettis. I don't necessarily care if getting him the ball leads to a lot of success. I don't really want to see you win. I want you to have the number one draft pick, because you will control days one, two, and three of the draft. That is what is continually lost in the shuffle. It's not about the difference between pick one and pick four, pick one and pick three. It's the difference between pick one and pick three on day one, and then pick one and pick three on day two. Remember, the draft concludes at the end of round one. So you've got another full day of people calling to get up to the top of the second round. You control the draft. So I'm not necessarily looking for a win. I am looking for Dante Pettis to see 10 or more targets in this game. I don't care how you do it. I don't care how you draw it up. Throw the kid the football. Let's see what he's made of. Last week, 7 targets, 5 receptions, 129 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He's got 3 touchdowns over the last 2 weeks. When he's been healthy, he's been impactful. But I want you to force feed this kid as many opportunities as possible. I don't care if they're reverses, double reverses. I don't care if he's throwing the football. I don't care if it's bubble screens. I don't care if it's shots down the field. I don't care if it's 1st and 20 or 3rd and 1. Get Dante Pettis involved, because maybe, just maybe if he gets enough experience in this offense and he shows you everything you were hoping you would see when you took a pretty high chance on him coming out of Washington, this could be one of the top playmakers on this offense for the future. We know what you don't have. Now let's find out what you've got for 2019. Jolo and Dibs, three keys to success, three keys to watch, three keys to whatever. Here on 95.7, the game is the Niners as 3.5-point favorites get set to host the Broncos this weekend. Key number two, Lorenzo Neal.
I think it's got to be big that this team, you alluded to it, you're talking about Pettis. I'm telling you, offense has to be big. They need five or more chunk plays or 20 yards or more.
Five or more, huh?
To even be close. Because they're not, and the thing about it is, newsflash, it's not going to happen in the running game. That means it has to happen in the passing game. Pettis is going to have to be one of those guys. Kittle's going to have to be one of those guys. So if you look at it, they need five or more big-time plays in the passing game, whether it's reverse screen, something's got to happen, because I just don't think it's possible this week in the run game.
Chunk plays. Lo Neal says chunk plays, ladies and gentlemen. Dibs, key number two, what say you?
I'm actually going the other way with not necessarily chunk plays, but you've got to be able to pound the ball. You've got to be able to run the ball against this Denver Bronco defense. You're seventh in the league in rushing, and that is with Matt Breida primarily. You didn't have Jerick McKinnon at all, and you won't have Breida. But blocking-wise, you still should be able to create holes for Jeff Wilson. He's looked pretty good in spots. Ball security issues aside, Alfred Morris, if he's up on Sunday, and he should be, get him the ball as well. Even Kyle Juszczyk, use him and some fullback dives if you need to. Keep Denver's defense on its heels by running the football. Helps you stay ahead of the sticks and take the pressure off Nick Mullins.
Key number two for me, every single defensive back not named Richard Sherman. You got a big break this week when Denver Bronco wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders was lost for the season when he slipped in practice and wrecked his Achilles. He's done. He was the team's most targeted wide receiver. He led the team in receptions, yards, and touchdowns. He had the most experience. He is now out of the equation, which means the Denver Broncos, who, remember, traded Demaryius Thomas to the Houston Texans just a few weeks ago, now have as their number one wide receiver a rookie second-round pick out of SMU named Courtland Sutton. This is not a robust, diverse, deep, and explosive receiving core. This is a receiving core you can limit. Case Keenum shouldn't be throwing for 350 yards on you this weekend. Richard Sherman, I know what you've got. I believe in you. I'm all about Richard Sherman, but the rest of the DBs,
yeah.
If you get roasted this weekend and you can't handle your business against a wide receiver unit like this, I'm not sure there's a wide receiver unit out there that you can handle. This is a week where you have to look good just to prove that you might be worthy of an opportunity down the road. Keys to success. We never actually came up with a name for this. We should probably, that should be one of our keys, coming up with a damn name for whatever this segment is.
Well, it's got to be keys to success, because if you don't have these, if you don't do this, you're not going to have success.
Yeah, that's so, we'll go with that for now.
Yeah.
Keys to success, number three, Lorenzo Neal.
I think the number three is you got to win the turnover battles. You got to win the turnover battle and keep Keenan under 230 yards with passing. I think you got to win the turnover battle this week. It is going to be paramount. If you don't win the turnover battle, you can't win.
Tips, key number three.
You got to get tricky, Joe. And I'm looking forward to seeing some trick play. Tricky, 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 huh, as Run DMC once sang back in the late 80s. It's tricky to rock around, to rock around. That's right, on time. It's tricky. I want to see trick plays, Joe. Tricky, 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 huh. Double reverse, you mentioned earlier. Get the ball into Pettis' hands. How about a fake punt? And when, you know, you're not expecting an onside kick. Dare I say, maybe even something along the lines of the Music City Miracle, where you get a kickoff and you try to throw it back. Do something different. If you're going to lose and fall to 2-11,
losing style,
let's do something exciting for a change. Maybe a flea flicker, God forbid, a double reverse, a double
triple
pass.
Reverse.
Do something tricky in this ball game.
I think there's something to that I want to touch on right after this. Three keys to the game, final one, Jolo and Dibs, 95-7 the game. We talked about it earlier, protection. Right? Mike McGlinchey versus Von Miller. That is not a matchup the Niners are going to win. Like Mike McGlinchey, but this is a huge step up in class against the game's premier pass rusher. You are going to have your hands full. So Mullins is going to need to slide protection to that side to give McGlinchey help. That means it's going to be a one-on-one battle on the other side between rookie Bradley Chubb and veteran Joe Staley. Staley, we all know what he's about, but Bradley Chubb, the rookie at NC State, has 10 sacks already this season. Granted, part of that is the effect of playing opposite Von Miller, which we saw Aldon Smith do when he was playing opposite Justin Smith way back in the day. got to be able to account for this guy. Nick Mullins, three steps, bang, get the ball out of your hands. Five steps, bang, get the ball out of your hands. Can't be standing back there in the pocket or you are going to get wrecked, son. Joe Lo and Dibs, three keys to success. Niners Broncos this weekend, kickoff just after 1 o'clock. You're talking about trick plays. Best NFL trick plays of all time. It doesn't have to be a specific trick play in terms of I saw it in this game at this time, because we know the flea flicker's been used multiple times, the hook and ladder's been used multiple times. But if you're talking trick plays, does any come to mind as one of the all-time greats? My first one is naturally going to be stepping outside of the NFL and going to college. The Boise State, Oklahoma game,
right?
Fiesta Bowl back in the day where Boise State pulled out all the stops. They had a hook and ladder to score a touchdown in the fourth, but they also won the game on the Statue of Liberty play of all plays, where the running back took the ball, they faked the pass, Oklahoma bit, boom. Then the guy goes over and proposes to his girlfriend, the cheerleader. Unbelievable moment.
Yeah, and then she laughing too.
Yeah, that ended up happening.
Wow.
Poor guy.
Is that so funny?
That turned in a hurry.
It's just sad. He did that, and she loved this gal, and she just got him. Got him!
Got him!
Got him!
It's rough.
It was so
a bad beat.
I don't know. That's wrong of me. Was it? I don't know.
I don't know.
Pleasure.
Is that in the good book? Take pleasure in others' misery?
I don't know.
Was that?
I don't know if it was pleasure.
John, one of the three Johns?
Well, I was actually
Old
running,
Testament.
I was running material on Cardi B yesterday because Cardi B's one-year marriage with Offset of the great rap trio Migos is ending. And it's like, way to stick it out, you two.
Yeah.
You go 1 year in, and at the first sign of trouble, you bounce. So.
Trouble!
That's neither here nor there. This material?
I had to get home with the kids, with Keon, you know. So I have this whole thing with Offset that I've been embarrassing him because I went and saw Migos. So anytime Offset comes up, I got to go to the kids and run my material.
Just get it in the home. Then get it in the home. They haven't been together that long. Just get it in the home.
Stuff. Yeah, it's a wrap. But 1 year, way to stick it out, you two.
It's like Dib said, first sign of trouble, just get out of there.
Get out
of there as soon as possible.
Get out.
Get out.
I think when you think about trick plays for me, the one that I always think of first is when the Dolphins ran the hook and lateral against San Diego in that game that Kellen Winslow was heroic and he came and he blocked that
field goal
to force overtime.
Game.
Yes.
Carried him off the field.
In that game, they had one of the great hook and ladder plays. Hook Miami Duper catches it and I think he flips it to Clayton up the sideline and
the
they score.
Oh yeah.
So, but that's when I think about trick plays, obviously Music City Miracle is among the greatest plays in any game in any history.
More fluke plays than trick plays, I would say.
But no, it was a trick plays. Play. The no, idea that you were going to catch a kickoff and then
they
do
tricked
a throwback.
The refs into believing it was legitimate.
Joe, it goes down to the top five plays in the history of the game. So
is it?
You, that's not according to me.
It don't, came out of your mouth.
Whoa. Go look it up. Don't put it on me. This is what's out there. So, okay, coach. But I think there's another play that I think I was involved in. I think.
Oh, my God. He's Googling it. He's looking it up.
Yep, here it is. TheOnion.com.
Oh, wow.
TheOnion.com has that as a top five play all time.
I think that there's a play that I loved. It's the fumble rooski.
You scored on the fumble rooski, did you not?
I was playing against Denver.
I was going to bring that up.
That fumble rooski was pretty sweet.
Great play.
That play.
Great
you got it. Pull it up. It's pretty awesome, Dibs. I mean. Philip comes in there.
You want me to pretend to Google like Joe did?
It's theatrics, coach. It's theater of the mind.
Exactly. And so Philip's underneath there, and he's blue 48, set, red, 455.
Omaha!
Set, hut, kill, hut. And boom, he takes the snap. And all of a sudden, he looks like he's, and then he hands the ball, puts it underneath my legs, and I just hold a little, my hands underneath my legs, like a little bread basket. And he just sits it, and then he keeps running, right? He runs like he's running a sweep. And all of a sudden, I just wait, 1,001, 1,002, and I'm watching everyone. I'm like, oh, God, it's time to, boom, and I take off, boom, 4 yards in the end zone. It was a friggin' awesome play.
How hard is it to be able to demonstrate patience in that moment?
Oh!
Because the key to that entire play is patience.
No question.
You have to be patient knowing that there are some of the most ferocious athletes on the planet flying around. They will light you up if they know you have that rock.
Light you up. It is... Joe, you're like, oh, my God, I got to hold it.
Do they tell you to count in your head? Do they say count to, like, two Mississippi?
Yes. And you're like, you want to get out of there. You want to get out of there. I'm telling you. And you just hold it. You're like, okay, big tank. Hang in there, big fella. Hang in there, big fella, because you don't got speed. They say speed kills, but you're not the fastest. You're not the slightest of the feet. So you got to make sure you bring the hammer. Hammer, how you do it?
Don't hurt him, hammer.
1,002. Boom, Joe. Take off. Head knocking, snobber knocking, dropping the head, bopping the boom, and making it happen. 4 yards in a cloud of dust. Touchdown to big fella.
the key to any good trick play is for the execution to include an element that no one would ever think of. And in this example, the idea of Loneal having the football in his hands is so unimaginable, Denver never game planned for it or checked. You see linebackers all the time pointing out certain players. No one's pointing him out.
No.
Philip just tossed him the ball and everyone running around running. It's like, no way this guy has it. Then he's in the end zone. Surprised Denver wasn't just applauding the slow clap, going, you know what? You got
Thanks,
us.
Gibbs.
That's one we didn't see coming. 7 days to game plan for this game. They probably had a bye coming in, 2 weeks to get ready. Never considered that option. That is a great play. It's very smooth because when you watch it on YouTube, you have to. That's one of the plays. You have to watch it two or three times to actually figure out what's happening.
No question. So that was a hell of a play. You were talking about the Niners, Joe and Dibs, and you guys are alluding to what they need to do for keys to success. I wrote down here, do you think there'll be a running back that's going to have a play for over 12 yards?
A Niner running back or any running back?
Just a Niner running back.
I'd say yes if you include passing. If you're not, if you're just including rushes.
Just rushes.
Probably not.
Think about that. Think about what we're saying. One play, 12 yards. That's how scary this game is. And that's
what you have to worry about with that bet is one of the great times to run is if there's maybe a minute left at the end of the first half, even if it's the end of the second half, and you got to run your two-minute offense. The Eagles were always good with this. They used to do it with Deuce Staley. Andy Reid did it with Deuce Staley. Andy Reid still does it to this day. You're maybe 75 yards away. Draw. Everyone's thinking pass. They'll give you the middle of the field, but they don't want you getting out of bounds. First play, drop back, draw. 12, 15 yards, that's rush true. Up, kill the clock or whatever, but that's always one where you could get that over. I'm just saying it's a gambler, you have to worry about it. But your point still holds. Will they have an efficient rushing attack this weekend? And the answer is probably no.
Yeah, I don't know if his point holds, though, after he opened the show at 6:02 with tackling is dead and the league is so soft and Derrick Henry goes for 99 yards, so seems to me like he's trying to have it both ways right now.
No, I'm just, right now,
I'm a little confused.
Point.
I'm a little conflicted as to who this new low is. As, you know, 6:02, you were coming in hot.
I was hot, and I'm still hot. I just think that just goes to show you what Shanahan's dealing with. Dibs, you got to realize, I told you that Derrick Henry probably shouldn't be starting. He's not a starter in the league.
Sure.
Okay, so you lost McKinnon, first string, right?
Correct.
Breida, second string, right?
Out.
Correct.
Alfred Morrison, third string, right?
Kinda.
Your fourth string running back was from Purdue out. Mostert out. So why is that? How is that contradicting myself? I'm down to your sixth string running back. Anyway, Joe, we're on to Cincinnati.
And for the listeners at home, they didn't see you just wave your hand in his face. So
boom! Yeah, I get
just disrespectful. Two snaps and a twist right there, Dibs.
Yeah. Two snaps and a twist.
You know, that was right. You got to admit, walked you to that one. You stuck your foot in there, and I took you through a process.
If you go trapezing through the Everglades, you might get bit by a gator.
Yeah, you might. Trapezing through the Everglades, which would be above the Everglades. So I guess if a gator jumped out of the water, you could get bit, or if you fell off the trapeze. But that's neither here nor there. I'd like to see a carry over 12 yards, and I think we will see a carry over 12 yards. And Joe lays out a perfect scenario where it's likely to happen. So when it happens, on Monday, you go ahead and just issue your usual apology, or you can just go ahead right now and just back the truck up if you want, because that works too. You in this take, and you just back it on up.
This take, I'm sure, had a point, though. And to be fair to you, I have led the charge in derailing this from the beginning. So why don't you go ahead and pull that train into the station and let the passengers get off?
And
they don't want to sit out on that tarmac anymore.
Absolutely. And Dibs, I was just making a point, just that how this Niner team, how tough it must be for them and for Kyle Shanahan to have to go to the cupboard every week and look in there, and he's trying to make a soup and or a grilled cheese sandwich, and he doesn't have any cheese. Hell, I don't even know if he has bread.
That might be the most apt analogy for this season ever. All they're trying to do is make a grilled cheese sandwich, and there just ain't no cheese down in Santa Cruz.
They got no bread. They got no cow to even get some milk to eventually make the cheese. What are you doing?
Have you ever, okay.
A couple of slices of soy cheese and some crackers. That's no grilled cheese.
No, put some sardine and crackers.
Some
exactly.
Matzah.
You got a couple of Ritz and some Parmesan. Right. You can't make a grilled cheese out of that.
Think about it.
Seriously.
Dibs, have you ever seen, you've been watching football a long time. Have you ever seen a team go this many running backs? You're talking about six string running backs. Think about how many running backs this team.
How many corners they've used. Think about how many receivers they've used. Coach, they are bombed out and depleted, to quote the player haters ball. They are this season.
It's been rough.
If you're Kyle Shanahan, let me ask you this. Do you think Kyle Shanahan has had a conversation with his wife at any point over the last month about where they're going on vacation when this season ends?
Oh, absolutely.
He's got it.
Absolutely.
Right? Like they had those. So
I gotta get
to
away.
Come home from work one day and been like, "Good God, where do you want to go when we get past this?" And that's not to say not a good coach. And not
focused, I get it.
But like, you know, that's you have a tough enough go. Like Nikki being pregnant for 50 of the last 55 months.
Wow.
Eventually, you have a conversation of, you know what? When we get through all this and we get the grandparents out, where do you want to go? Where
absolutely
do you want to go relax for a little
anywhere time? And you look at Kyle Shanahan, and if you look really closely, he's not holding a play sheet. It's actually a brochure for an island getaway. You got to really be an astute football watcher to see that, though. You know, it's like the old, when you're in class.
It's like a timeshare thing.
Yeah, you used to have your history book open, but inside you'd be reading, like, whatever magazine in class you weren't supposed to be reading. That's what he's got working. He's got the play sheet, but inside it's like the Bahamas or St. Kitts or
really
something.
Playing to the older end of the demo. I'm pretty sure they just pull their phones out now, don't they?
I wonder. No phones in school. So
really?
Well, that's funny you say that because you text your kid in school, he gets right back to you. You text him after school, nothing.
Pay you no mind.
Nothing. Pay no mind.
You ever text him? You ever just shoot him a text wondering if he'll get right back to you knowing
time
he's in school?
All the time. Yesterday, it's like, hey, Keon, you know, do you still want to get your haircut today or should we do it this weekend? Fifth period. Boom. Right back to me. 3:45, hey, are you at Nate's house? Crickets.
Oh, mine gets mad.
Crickets.
I get mad. They get mad. They can't take their phone to school. No. Phone's not going to school. You leave it here at the house. Nope. Not happening. Oh, hot.
Yeah, no phones in school.
Dad, what are you waking?
Yeah, listen to the warden from Shawshank Redemption over here. Really in control of that household.
No question. I like to think I am.
Lo Neal walked 300 yards through the foulest stench.
But think about
just
that,
to
though,
get in here from a Monday morning radio show.
To be called Grilled Cheesehead, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. But you think about that. These guys are on their fifth and sixth string running back. Yes, Joe, he's thinking about a vacation. He is definitely, he gets home and like, babe, I can't wait to, I want to get away. And I can't wait till it happens. This
kids
team,
aren't coming.
No, exactly. My God. I've never seen this bad. I wrote down another one, too, for you guys. Quarterbacks. Keenum, Cousin, and Smith. Unfortunately, Smith's hurt. But have we talked about this last year? Which one of these quarterbacks do you better? Keenum, Smith.
Hold on. Case Keenum, Kirk Cousins, and Alex Smith, because they're all kind of tied together with the movement of everything.
Yeah.
You're asking which one played better this year?
Which one played better? Which one would you rather have?
They're all the same guy. That's what they are. They're all the same guy. Cousins is who everyone thought he was. He's capable right up until it's a big game and it's the fourth
and
quarter.
And
then he's not going to go win you the game. He's kind of like Matthew Stafford, right? He's not going to win you the game. He might give you a chance to win it, but if you're not helping him, he's not going to make the plays on a consistent basis. You watch Brady and Rodgers and Brees, they'll just make plays in every fourth quarter to win games. Now, granted, there's some jabroni in his car going, what about the Dallas game for Drew Brees? Okay, you got me. You got me. Drew Brees didn't make enough plays there. But by and large, that's what you need from the franchise guy. Cousins doesn't do it. Alex Smith has always been nice, and Keenum really benefited from Pat Shurmur's offense last year because he's getting paid a little bit, and you know,
but look
he can
he,
hold down
but,
the fort until a better quarterback comes along.
He did the same thing. We had the same. I won that Kale because he was sitting there loving on Cousins, and I said Keenum was just as good. He got him to the playoffs last year. What is he doing?
Oh, you're talking about our Washington bet about they'd be 500.
Think about what Keenum's doing. Keenum is just
what
as
what a bet.
I know. Think
what
about,
a bet.
He's just as good.
That thing ended in a push.
No, I lost.
There was an outright loss.
Yeah.
And it actually wasn't a bet that I had to give him anything. Right. He said, I'd give you $500 and a year supply of kale if they go 8-8.
Yeah.
So
good God.
This time with the Cleveland.
I'll buy you anything you desire, buddy. The best kale you want for a year. I'll give you $500 if they win 8 games.
The connection between the two, to start talking about the best kale in the world and then just go to $500. Think about that.
Yeah, I know.
But that was, hey, you came through. Courtesy of the New York Giants in week 17.
And this year, it's similarly close. Yeah. I mean, that game was tight, too, in the third quarter. That was a winnable ball game. And much like the Cleveland bet this year, the over-under 5.5.
It's right there again.
That baby.